Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, the Bible. Jesus said to those listening to him, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it shall be measured unto you. Lord, help us to consider carefully what we hear today through your word. And as you speak to us, help us to use a measure that is full. And we pray that you would abundantly pour onto us understanding, strength, encouragement, a determination to live for you. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, amongst all the other things we've discovered about the Queen as we've celebrated her 90th birthday are her top 10 songs. I'm not going to go through all of them, but amongst her top 10, there's Vera Lynn, Gary Barlow, A Regimental March, and the hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Now in the hymn we sing these words, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing? Now these are the words of our monarch praising her king. Why would the monarch praise God, especially on a weekend like this when we're all praising her? She's the centre of attention in her bright fluorescent green coat and hat. Why would the monarch praise God? Well, we're celebrating the Queen's birthday today. And I do apologise to those of you who have Republican tendencies. There's bound to be some amongst you. Or maybe you have a different queen and you don't really bother by ours or king. Just bear with us today. The Bible tells us that our rulers are instituted by God. So she holds a place which has been given to her by God. So that she is important in that respect. And isn't it wonderful that we're blessed with a ruler, a monarch, who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ? What a fantastic privilege. And not only that, she proclaims him. So it's a great thing, I think, to celebrate her 90th birthday today. But why would the Queen or any of us praise God? Perhaps you're a guest or a visitor here today and you don't yet trust in the Lord Jesus for yourself. And for you, it's an honest question. Why praise God? You want some answers. Hopefully, we can help you think of some of those answers today. Maybe you come here this morning and you want to celebrate the Queen's birthday, but you yourself are not feeling that great yourself. There's things happening in your life that make you worry or anxious, and you're not feeling like praising anybody particularly. Hopefully, this psalm will help and encourage you today. Or maybe you just want help in your Christian life to praise God more. The psalm has the answer to the question, why praise? It begins with these great words. Verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. And we're going to see through this psalm that God alone can and does transform life and death. And you can see it in the history of God's people. You can see it in his love and forgiveness. You can see it in his giving of eternal life. Let's dive in to the psalm. So first of all, God alone can and does transform life and death. Our Lord God, who is the creator, who is invisible but all-powerful, and who's made known through his word, the Bible, and in our Lord Jesus Christ and through the history of his people, he actually makes a real difference in lives like ours, from day to day, in individual lives like yours. That same mighty, amazing God can transform your life day to day, but more importantly, he can transform the impact that death will have on your life by what he can do for us. Let's have a look at these verses. So let's read from verse 2 together. Well, I'll read it, you can listen. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There's some tremendous things here. He heals all your diseases. Now you might think, well, hang on a minute, I've been healed from many diseases in my life and I thank God for that, but I know there are some that he doesn't seem to heal. There's a great sense of now and not yet about this psalm. And as you go through it more, you'll see that more and more it talks about not just our lives today, but the fact that God can do something that means there's a life beyond death even. And this is the case with our diseases. He heals some of our diseases now. But there's a not yet There's a time when all our diseases will be healed through what God has done in Jesus in a new creation one day. That is the future that God makes possible and that this psalm insists on. He also says he satisfies your desire. This is verse 5. He satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This must be the secret of the Queen's strength, age 90. The Lord can even change the lives of those who are older. Just because maybe you've hit your, 70th or 80th year, it doesn't mean that the Lord has stopped wanting to transform you and help you. And here are the big changes in these verses, the biggest. Verse 3, the Lord who forgives all your sins. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit, meaning death, and crowns you with love and compassion. This is about our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is broken, left to ourselves in our normal human lives. We have a broken, damaged relationship. If you were to go into the streets and ask her, who is king in your lives? Who's the sovereign in your life? People might mention Queen Elizabeth II. They probably won't mention God. And if you stop and get them to think about it, they'll probably admit, oh, I am. Who's the king in your life? We are. We do things our way, regardless of God, regardless of government. And that needs fixing, because that ruins our relationship with God. We need it mending to know God in the first place. One of the great things of the Queen's history as our monarch was giving the World Cup to the English team in 1966. And with the Euros coming up, we're reminded of that because that's the last major tournament we won. Now, Bobby Moore was captain of that team, and he was asked what it felt like to get the trophy from Queen Elizabeth. And he explained that he was terrified. As he went up the steps, all he could see were her white gloves, beautiful, clean, perfect white gloves. And he looked at his hands and they were filthy. He'd been playing the game of football. He'd fallen over. He'd pushed himself up on the muddy ground. These dirty hands. He was terrified. How was he going to mess up her gloves? And you can see him as he goes up the steps wiping his hands to try and get rid of the dirt. And it's a bit like us before God. As we approach God, we look down and we see that we're dirty. And he is immaculate and holy and pure. And however much we wipe, we can't get rid of the dirt. We need fixing. It's there because of our rebellion against him, the way that we want to be king in our lives and not him. How can that be mended? By the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross. And it's through that death that the words of this psalm come true. Who forgives all your sins. This is how God forgives our sins, because Jesus died. Who redeems your life from the pit. How are we going to face God's judgment after death? Through the death of our Lord Jesus, who redeems our life from the pit, from death and judgment, and crowns you with love and compassion. So God alone can and does transform life and death. And so if you are someone who's investigating the claims of Jesus, turn to him. He is the one who can make a difference, who can change your life today, and he can change the impact of death today as well. And if you are trusting in Jesus, rejoice. Rejoice in your inmost being. Let it soak into your soul what God has done for you in Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had a cold, and to help your cold, you've had a hot lemon and honey drink. And as you, maybe you add other things as well, I don't know, paracetamol, whatever. And as you drink this drink, it sort of soaks down into you, doesn't it? And you feel it kind of going through you. It's all psychological, I know, but you feel it spread through your body. Let this praise do that today. Praise the Lord, verse 1, my soul, all my inmost being. Let this knowledge that Jesus is the one who forgives your sins, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let this soak into you and praise him from your inmost being. Well, maybe you're not sure and you'd like to see this in action. Can God demonstrate to you that he's actually like this? Yes, he can. We see it in the history of God's people. And if you were one of the original singers of this psalm, you'd have known all about Moses and the Israelites as they escaped from Egypt. It was part of your history and you'd know all about it. How God rescued the oppressed Israelites Pharaoh was making they were treating them as slaves in terrible conditions. And under Moses' leadership, God rescued them, took them through the sea, parting the waters, and brought them to the foot of Mount Sinai, where he entered into a covenant with his people, a special relationship based on his law, his word. And you'd know that, all of that. It's a bit like us and how we know certain events of the Queen's life, isn't it? So many of us will know about the accession of the Queen to the monarchy, how she was staying in Kenya at the time when her father, King George VI, died. And she had to fly back to the United Kingdom as quickly as possible so that she could go before the Accession Council and be proclaimed Queen. And if you can't remember it yourself, which I can't, I wasn't there, you've seen the pictures, the black and white film of her stepping off the aeroplane as she arrives in England again. And we know about this sort of thing, and in the same way, the original singers would have known about God's deeds with his nation, Israel. And that's what he speaks about in these next few verses. Verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed, that's the Israelites. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Those exact words were spoken to Moses during the Exodus as he wanted to know more of God. Verse 9, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Iniquities is another word for sin, for crossing that boundary with God. So this is God's nature, his character. This is what the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the one true God, this is what he's like. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And people say to us sometimes, don't they, how can God be God and let all these terrible things that are going on in the world happen? How can that be true? And the answer is that there is one true God. He is the Lord God of the scriptures, of the Israelites, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of us today as we trust in Jesus. And he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And he does work righteousness and justice for all the oppressed, verse 6. And verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. This is what he's like. And the evil in the world is largely down to our fault. And even often when it's things happening, disasters in creation, it's us who've wrecked the world so that it happens. Humanity is the reason for evil. And God is the one who can bring transformation. And God alone can and does transform life and death. And we see it in the history of his people. Well, now we come to the wonderful heart of the psalm, because we don't just see it in the history of his people, we see it in God's love and forgiveness. And in the next three verses, 11, 12 and 13, we've got three amazing pictures, simple pictures, but that express powerfully God's transforming love and forgiveness, the wonder of what he's done for us through Jesus Christ as we trust in Jesus. Let me read them to you. Verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Transgression is another word for sin, the way we break God's rules. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Three simple but wonderful pictures of God. How great is God's love? Well, take a journey with the Queen to Balmoral, miles from the lights of London and cities, and look up at the sky at night and see the stars and wonder how far away are those stars? Verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Wow. How powerful is God's forgiveness? How powerful is his forgiveness? Well, our Queen is a great traveller, apparently. She's visited 117 countries. Suppose you were to journey from India round the world to the USA. How far would that be? Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's picture language, isn't it? Of the scale of the forgiveness that is there in our Lord. And what is his love towards us like? Well, I'm afraid I've got to abandon the Queen here, because we need to think of a good father. Think of a good father caring for his children. What wouldn't he do for them? Verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. These are wonderful pictures of the great scale, an immeasurable scale of the Lord's love and forgiveness and compassion. I wonder, are you someone who fears the Lord? Maybe you wonder what that means. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It is the proper response to his awe and majesty, to fear him. Have a look at verse 11. So great is his love for those who fear him. Verse 13. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And verse 17. We will see this in a moment. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. So what does that mean? Well, as some of you know, I'm a fan of motor racing. And Lewis Hamilton, the world champion Formula One driver, he was at Wimbledon last year, only he didn't get in. He didn't get into Wimbledon because he tried to get into the Royal Box and they wouldn't let him. He wasn't wearing a jacket and tie. He didn't treat the Royal Box with the respect and the awe that it deserved. Now, however great the love and forgiveness and compassion of God, we can't come before him without treating him with the respect and the awe that he deserves. And that's part of our trust, isn't it, in him, to recognize him as sovereign and Lord. And the Bible has two forms of that fear, if you like. One is the fear that we have without Jesus, without the Lord Jesus. The fear of death, not knowing what's beyond, not having any help with facing death. The fear of the judgment that God promises. How could we stand before God without our sins forgiven? That's one of the kinds of fear that you'll see in the Bible. And that is a kind of a terror, really, rightly so. The other fear is this fear that's been spoken of here. A respect and awe. That as we turn to Jesus and see him as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we're amazed at all he's done for us, we bow before him with wonder at his holiness. We fear him. Are you someone who fears the Lord? Maybe you are a guest here today and you're asking the question, why praise the Lord? You can see, can't you, in these three little pictures, how great he is and the scale of what he's done for us. Maybe you're feeling low in yourself because of things that are going on around you. Don't ever forget that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for you if you're trusting in Jesus, whatever's going on around you, whatever it is. Maybe you know that you've sinned again. You've gone over the line again. There's something you've done that's in your life, you've done it before, and you know his forgiveness. Can he really forgive you again? Look what it says, verse 12. When you trust in Jesus for forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Perhaps you feel worthless, that your life isn't worth bothering with. You're a little person. Everyone else is much more important and special. You don't really matter. And it's not true. Not true to your Father, your Heavenly Father. As you trust in Jesus, he has compassion on you. He treats you as one of his children. Verse 13. It truly is the wonderful heart of this psalm. God alone can and does transform life and death. We see it in the history of God's people. We see it in his love and his forgiveness in these verses. And we see it in his eternal love, verse 14 to 18. Because our lives, as they are without God, are fleeting unless he transforms them. We're here one day, we're gone the next. Have a look at verses 14 and onwards. God knows, he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're dust. Bleak words, aren't they? The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. And at this time of year, there are many beautiful flowers of the field. It's wonderful, isn't it? And we flourish like that. Look at us, flourishing in our lives. Verse 16, the wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. And in a few weeks' time, you'll look out over where some of those flowers were, and there'll be nothing. All the petals would have gone, and just a stalk remaining, or not even that, perhaps. And that's like our lives. 50, 60 years hence from now, 100 years. Our lives are fleeting unless they're transformed by God. And this is the wonder of what he does. He doesn't transform our life today. He transforms our life forever. He transforms life and death by his transforming power. Verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. For trusting in Jesus, this is the change he makes to our lives. And we see that supreme in his resurrection, don't we? In the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, a demonstration of that power of resurrection that gives us a sure and certain hope for our lives beyond this life. We see it in his eternal love. So God alone can transform life and death. We see it in the history of God's people. We see it in his love and forgiveness. We see it in his eternal love. Now, as always, as we look at God's word, we need to say, so what? What difference does this make to you today? The Queen sings, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven." It's one of her favourite songs. Will you sing with her and with this song? It ends with an intensely personal note of praise. Verses 19 to 22. They start on the huge scale and they zoom in gradually to focus on just one person. The person reading the psalm, thinking about it, you, as you read it here this morning. Verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. We're on the gigantic scale here. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. We zoom in to the stars of the sky. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. We zoom into this world. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. And lastly, we come down to you and me as we sit and read and sing in our hearts. Praise the Lord, my soul. How great is your love for those who fear you, Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth. How far have you removed our transgressions from us, Lord? As far as the east is from the west. How do you have compassion on those who fear you? As a father has compassion on his children. Praise the Lord, my soul, my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.